This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Ladies and gentlemen, a wrestling contest for the world's heavyweight championship. Introducing the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome to Crush Performance. Jeff Crushell here, Connor Halley behind the glass. Moo away once again. His summer hiatus almost, as he's coaching Little League Baseball and playing a little himself as well. Hey, CrushPerformance.com is the place where you can hook up and connect with all the performance information we put out each week. You can sign up for our newsletter as well. Today, a very, very big show, as we are lucky enough to touch base with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, consultant, and author of his great book, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime, and The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing. In light of the recent FIFA scandals and arrests, we thought it'd be best to get to the bottom of what's really happening within the world of football and soccer. And there's nobody better than Declan Hill to clear that up. His work has been an integral part of past investigations and arrests, and he's now consulting with U.S. authorities as they work to take down the ringleaders who are behind the corruption in the game of soccer. So that powerful conversation coming up with Declan Hill. And later in the show, as promised, we've been advertising it all day, we visit with author, speaker, and host of the new TV hit, Human Behavior, which airs on the National Geographic Channel, Dan Pink, to talk about motivation and what really motivates us. So there's a massive mismatch between what science knows and what we actually do when it comes to motivating our kids, our students, employees, and even our athletes. So find out what it is and how you can get the most out of yourself and the people around you as we talk with Dan Pink about motivation later on. The text question of the day, we have to get to it. This FIFA scandal has gotten to us for sure. The text is 101260, a standard text rates reply. And listen, are we doing enough to clean up sport? What would you like to see the authorities do? And this is a big move by the U.S. authorities as they step internationally to do something that probably should have been done years and years and years ago. So what do you guys think? Text us at 101260. Are we doing enough to clean up sport? We know what WADA's doing. We know what every major sporting organization's doing in terms of banned substances and PEDs. And now we see the corruption side really, really cracking down and getting busted wide open here with the FIFA scandal. So let me know what you think. We'll get to those later in the day. But right now, let's get to Declan Hill as we crack into what exactly is going on with FIFA. Declan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, our pleasure, and very timely, of course. The last time we spoke to you was around the World Cup, and you know, we were really getting into the background and the depths of the corruption inside of FIFA, and not just FIFA, but the world of organized soccer and football. And in that conversation a few years back, you basically said it goes right to the top, Declan, and here we are today. We know for a fact it goes right to the top.
Yeah, I have to say, even knowing everything that I did when we talked a couple of years ago, I still have been shocked. I woke up at about 4 o'clock in the morning last Wednesday, and just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Couldn't believe that the FBI were moving into the a luxury hotel in Switzerland, were arresting senior guys. Swiss police were doing an investigation now in terms of organized crime in Qatar and Russia, you know, the Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, the director of the FBI, and now Blatter's resignation. It's really been an extraordinary week, in international soccer.
Well, we've talked about your book, The Fix, quite often here on the show. We also talked about The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football, two fantastic reads for just sports fans in general, but also, to get a real insight of, you know, what can really happen in the world of professional sports. Declan, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your works as of yet, I'd like to go back to The Fix and just sort of get an idea and sort of paint the picture of, you know, if you can, in sort of general terms. I know this is difficult to do, but maybe paint a picture of how does this corruption and match fixing happen? I mean, I realize it's quite sophisticated, but in a nutshell, this is real.
Yeah, look, what's happened is the same thing that has affected journalism, airline travel, the music industry, which is globalization. You know, you can sit on a computer and you can get connected around the world instantly. That, too, in this weird way, has hit the sports gambling world. So now you have this huge pot of liquidity or just basically cash. Hundreds of billions of dollars every year is bet on sports. Most of that market is over in Asia. And most Asian sports have now been ruined and are thoroughly corrupted. There are a few honorable exceptions, but Taiwanese baseball, Japanese sumo wrestling, South Korean basketball, soccer, motorboat racing, e-gaming, like it just goes on and on and on. And so much of that market is now going around the world placing bets on really obscure sports in obscure leagues. So here in Ontario, the Canadian Soccer League still has a consistent problem of games being flagged for, quote, suspicious betting patterns, which means people think they're being fixed. So that's that leap of imagination. You know, I was talking with the New York Times when I was working with them. I was saying to the editors, look, guys, this is such a huge story. It involves so many different sports, involves so much money. You really have to kind of take a step back and take that leap of imagination. You know, and all I would say to listeners who are being maybe a little skeptical is saying, look, imagine you did a Rip Van Winkle. You went to sleep before the internet, and then you wake up 25 years later. You know, it's kind of like that. You know, the internet and globalization has hit this world and is making sports corruption like exponentially bigger than it's ever been before.
Well, we're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, consultant, and also author of two fantastic reads, The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football, and of course, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. Declan, before we move on to today's current news stories, if it's okay, I'd just like to maybe revisit one of your incredible stories in terms of your adventures when you were researching The Fix, when you sat down with some characters who were actually involved in organizing the fixes in the matches. I thought it was scary, it was alarming, but it really just sort of brought to light how true this really is. When you sat down with the mafia members who were sort of in charge of fixing. Are you okay sharing that story?
What I should add to that picture of this globalized sports gambling market is that there are now gangs based out of Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand, and they travel the world setting up fixed sporting events, and we've got well over 1,000 in the last 5 years. So what I did was I put on hidden cameras and recording devices. They didn't know I was doing this, and I went and met with them and kind of, quote, infiltrated them as they were going towards the World Cup of Soccer. And they were approaching teams at the World Cup of Soccer, which again, if you don't know my work, if you don't know the rigor I bring to it, you'll probably go, hey, this is crazy stuff. But here's the factor that any cynical or skeptical listener needs to know. At the World Cup, at these big international soccer tournaments, a lot of the players don't get paid. In fact, worse, a lot of the players get ripped off by their senior national soccer federations. The senior soccer federations take the cash that should be there for the players. So you have at these big international soccer tournaments like the World Cup, like the Women's World Cup, you have teams of really disgruntled players that are angry that they've been ripped off.
Right, and I guess that sort of feeds the whole issue of, you know, the match-fixing problem. It makes it easy, I guess, for the fixes to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have sports like tennis, where it's just chronic. I mean, it's just chronic outside of the top 20, top 40, where it just, you know, players are desperate, and it makes better sense. I'm not saying ethically, but it makes economic sense to fix half a dozen games or a dozen games a season, because you're making more money that way than you could ever win, you could ever do by playing honestly.
We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, and consultant. Declan, well, let's get to today's events here. If you were to go back, you've sort of been following this very closely, and I do believe your work is probably being consulted as we speak in the investigations, or at least in the lead up to the investigations.
FBI's reading it, and we're talking. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So how about we get your interpretation of the lead up to this, to the big fall, the big bust, and then, of course, Sepp Blatter's resignation here just after he was basically voted in again.
Yeah, I think what we're watching, Jeff, is basically Game of Thrones, but in real life. So you've got this weird public shadow puppet theater where you have this guy, he's just won his election, and he does this kind of Mafia Don-like stuff. This is Sepp Blatter on the weekend saying at a press conference, hey, I forgive everyone, but I don't forget. Like, you know, what kind of veiled threat is that? Then 3 days later, at this really weird press conference yesterday, late afternoon, Zurich time, the journalists don't even know why they're there. It's just like, oh, press conference featuring Sepp Blatter. 12 people show up in a room which can seat hundreds of people. They're just like, oh, yeah, what is it going to be? Some weird sub-regulation. And the guy has this rambling thing where he just says, okay, not everyone's with me, which, you know, is a foregone conclusion.
Right.
I'm leaving. And just goes. And everyone's like, what did we just see over the last week? What's going on? This is my best take on it, Jeff. There is a number of, to continue this Game of Thrones analogy, the kingmakers in those rooms. The guys with immense amount of power, immense amount of resources that we never hear about in the media or in the public. I'll give you one name, Sheikh Al-Sab from Kuwait. He's the head of the Asian Olympic Committee. Excuse me, his name is Al-Sabah. And Al-Sabah is hugely resourceful, hugely a lot of money. He'll have kind of meetings with people in the International Sports Organization. If he likes them, he'll give them money so they can run to be candidates. Kind of like a super PAC of international soccer organization. Not suggesting that Al-Sabah is corrupt, but he is a kingmaker. He has the power. And my belief is that on Monday and Tuesday, with more bad news coming down the pipeline at FIFA, one of those kingmakers phoned Blatter and said, enough is enough. You got to go.
Wow. We're talking with Declan Hill, author of The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football, and of course, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. Declan, listen, this is absolutely fascinating. I think just to see that this is all coming apart. Let me ask you a big question here. Why do you think it took the Americans to actually come down and take hold of this long-awaited, I guess, enforcement and this action to get this cleaned up?
I think it's a great question, and I kind of blotted my copybook over in the UK because I was doing a TV interview over there a couple of days ago, and I said, you know what, if I was from New Scotland Yard, if I was a detective there, British detective, and I saw what was happening, I would go home, have a cup of tea, look in the mirror and say, why did it have to be the Americans?
Right.
I think the English were very upset with that. But it's true. You know, it took the Americans and the best of our neighbors. I'm not trying to, you know, be gushy here. It took the best of the Americans to step in. And I think really the Americans they're not blackmailable in a way that any other country is. And let me try to explain. National soccer federations exist in every country in the world, 209 of them. Those are the guys that vote for Sepp Blatter or his rivals. Many of those, not all of them, not even the majority, but a significant minority of them are deeply corrupted. Every time there's been a police investigation into the activities of a national soccer federation, be it Nigeria, Iran, Poland, last week it was Greece, FIFA has stepped in and said this is political people interfering with sports, which is nonsense. You know, it's a normal police law enforcement activity. In Greece, for example, there have been murders, there have been car bombings. One of my colleagues, a buddy of mine, investigative journalist, he stepped out of his apartment last year and was beaten into a coma by guys waiting for him with iron bars because of his investigation into soccer. So the government is trying to clean that up. FIFA is saying, if you continue this, we're going to ban you from international soccer. And that's a huge club to hang over most Europeans, you know, most countries of the world, with the exception of the Americans. So, you know, if FIFA said, you're investigating us, so we're going to stop the Americans from playing international soccer, the Americans would go, yeah, and so, like, big deal. Like, it just doesn't play as big in the U.S. market as it does anywhere else in the world. And I think that gives the American authorities much more leverage.
Well, we're talking with Declan Hill, author, speaker, investigative reporter. You could check out his blog and his books, contact information at DeclanHill.com. Declan, I have a question for you. You know, knowing what you've been through and how dedicated you've been to this cause over the years, and there's no doubt in my mind, you are one of the leading forces in what's happening right now. Are you scared?
No, I'm not. I obviously was terrified when I was doing the undercover investigations, you know, because those guys are very frightening. And particularly the people who back them are quite frightening.
Yes.
The fixing gangs began to get busted after the German police had read my book, which was translated in 21 languages. And they read it and they started doing wiretaps on these guys. And they were able to uncover much of the networks and stuff. What I think about the CIFA stories, it reminds me a little bit of when I was in Iraq during 2003 during the war. And I remember I was in the hotel and we got the news that Saddam Hussein had fallen. And we look at each other and we say, now it gets interesting. And I think CIFA is now going to get really, really interesting in ways that it never does. And please remember this. There are people inside that organization, inside the world of soccer, that make Sepp Blatter look like an archangel.
Right. No question. Well, you know, your latest blog, today's blog, 10 Thoughts on Sepp Blatter's Resignation, you basically refer to that, hey, after this big vote goes down, we could be reflecting back in his time.
Nostalgic for Blatter.
Yeah.
Blatter always at least said the right things, but there are some people in that world, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, exaggerate. I'm not going to say that every single person in soccer is, you know, organized crime. In no way am I suggesting it.
No.
But there is a significant minority. And remember, all those national soccer federations whose investigations into their activities were shut down by Blatter and the Swiss people and his Swiss administrators have no desire to change the status quo. They're going to find somebody who is at least as bad as Blatter, if not worse, and run him. And they've got a lot of votes inside FIFA. So this is not a foregone conclusion that organization will be cleaned up in any way.
You're so right. Things are now getting interesting for FIFA. Declan, you're a Canadian boy, and you've been quite outspoken about some of the issues here in Canada. You know, you talk about the gang at the Canadian Soccer Association. Let's start there. What are your concerns?
Look, I think the Canadian Soccer Association is a bunch of toxic losers. You know, everything that they touch goes bad, whether it's the Canadians men's national team, which, you know, is just around the same level as the Faroe Islands. I mean, we are a huge, powerful nation. We're rich. We're, you know, our young people play soccer even more people play soccer than hockey now. Not suggesting it rivals hockey, but soccer is a big sport, and we're playing against tiny teams from the Caribbean, and we don't seem to be able to beat them. You know, the Women's World Cup, this scandal with the artificial turf, whatever you think about it, has become an international embarrassment for us. And consistently and chronically in this particular field, this, you know, question of corruption, Canada supported CONCACAF establishment. They did not vote against Jack Warner, who was the former guy who's now living under indictment for major fraud and major scams. Nor did they go against the guy who just left, Jeffrey Webb. He's also being indicted. Never said a word. The only time we've ever heard any condemnation of corruption was too little, too late. Late Thursday afternoon, we heard one interview that they've said. Now, at the same time, the Canadian Soccer Association has been posing with photos of this, you know, fur mascot for the Women's World Cup. They've made themselves available for the press to do these stupid photo opportunities, but they haven't done what we as Canadians would want them to do. Stand up early in the fight and just say, this is not Canadian values. When our people run on the sports field as Canadians, this is not, you know, they're not representing Sepp Blatter and these values. And we as Canadians stand up against it. And I'd like to contrast them, if I may, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Two Canadian heroes. One is Richard Pound, the Montreal lawyer that basically cleaned up International Olympic Committee. Not completely, but considering where the IOC was after the Salt Lake City scandals, match fixing and the figure skating and all the bribery that went on there, he stepped into the IOC. He cleaned it up. He set up WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency, and he was one of the first people to publicly call for an investigation of Lance Armstrong when people didn't want to do that. Man of tremendous courage and integrity. There's a woman, Alexandra Raig, out of Washington, D.C. now, but she's a Canadian. She was invited into FIFA in 2011 after another corruption scandal. She basically produced a blueprint for how they could clean up that organization, and FIFA said no. So Alexandra, in true Canadian female style, said, I'm not going to take this nonsense, and just walked out and gave a scathing interview to Forbes magazine in New York, which went around the world, and really predicted the inside culture of corruption and complicity with corruption that the FBI is revealing. You know, these two are giants on the international stage. They've shown they've got integrity. They've shown they've got true adherence to Canadian values. And you contrast that with the Canadian Soccer Association. It's just, you know, I'm not throwing these words around lightly. These are toxic losers, and they're an embarrassment to us as Canadians.
We're talking with Declan Hill, author, speaker, investigative reporter. You can check out his information at DeclanHill.com. Two fantastic reads, The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football, and, of course, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. Declan, a couple more questions here before we let you go. Number one, follow the money. You know, this could get interesting, and we're not going to say it's going to be a turn for the better with this new vote for FIFA, but how powerful are the sponsors, the money men inside of this sort of thing? Is it somebody that we need, or is this an area we need to put pressure on?
I think we need, as soccer fans, need to put pressure on them, because the you know, I was talking about toxic losers in the Canadian Soccer Association.
Yes.
The sponsors have been like supine for years with this kind of stuff. You know, anyone who has even a casual interest in soccer probably wasn't surprised to hear corruption and Sepp Blatter's name linked, or FIFA's, you know, name linked. I mean, these rumors and allegations have been going on for years. There have been various court cases against these people. So, I've never seen, with the exception of Sony that walked away from FIFA last year, any major sponsor really standing up effectively and saying, let's clean this up. Now they've issued press releases saying this is very good, but many of them don't, in their press releases, don't even mention Sepp Blatter by name. It's really supine stuff. And I think in particular with the Qatari situation, Qatar is where FIFA is hosting the World Cup in 2022. And there are, and I quote, Human Rights Watch, stadiums of blood. So the slavery conditions, again, I'm quoting Amnesty International and Human Rights, the slavery conditions for the workers building these stadiums where the world will watch soccer is so bad that every 2 days a worker dies. So there have been hundreds of deaths in there. And you contrast that with the noble statements of the sponsors, and it's just not good enough. It really isn't good enough, and they've got to pull up their socks.
Fascinating stuff. Declan, we could talk to you all day about this, but before we let you go, I would just like to sort of get your prediction, or let's say your wish list, as to where FIFA goes in terms of leadership now.
Look, right now, I think they should just put a call. I mean, it won't happen, but I think they should put a call into Richard Pound and say, we'll give you 6 months until the next, you know, the presidential election. Do what you need to do. I'd like phone up Alexandra Reg, bring her back to Zurich and say, okay, what do we do? Transparency. You know, we publish the salaries of, you know, all our executives. Every single contract at FIFA must be, you know, publicly available. You can see the things. Not revealing commercial secrets, but just, you know, basic transparent governance, which is done in most city governments and provincial governments and federal governments around the world. Just, you know, just getting to that basic standard of transparency, I think, would be a huge improvement.
Declan, we really appreciate your time today in the frenzy that is the FIFA fiasco, I suppose. We appreciate you, all of your work and your time, and we look forward to following you at DeclanHill.com and talking to you in the very near future.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm looking forward to the next time we talk.
There you go, Declan Hill calling it like it is. Very, very explosive and exposing conversation right there regarding the FIFA scandal and what's going on right here at home in Canada. Canada potentially has the way to be one of the leaders as the International Soccer Federation moves forward. Listen, are you motivated? Are your kids, students, employees, or athletes motivated? There is a massive disconnect between what science knows about motivation and what we actually do. Find out as we talk with Dan Pink, author of his best-selling book, Drive, The Surprising Truth About Motivation and What Motivates Us, when we come back on Crush Performance. Stick around.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think, like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to Crush Performance. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the online point that you can get to us. That's our website. You can get our weekly newsletter. You can get all of our social media, the podcast, as well as our weekly blog is there. So check it out. Coming off a very, very interesting conversation with Declan Hill about the FIFA scandal. We had to get that in. We were able to get in touch with Declan earlier this week and track him down for a few minutes. And wow, what an explosive conversation that was. Let us know your text. Are we doing enough to clean up sport? And is this one of the breaking points? We've done a pretty good job when it comes to the drugs and sports issue, and now we're cracking down on the corruption. And I think it's a big move for sports in general, not just soccer. Some interesting comments, though, about what's going on in tennis, baseball, soccer, and especially in the Pacific Rim. So more to come, no doubt about that. Let's switch gears here, as promised. We've been advertising it all week. We wanted to talk about motivation. Listen, are we motivating the people around us properly? Well, Dan Pink is an author, speaker, and host of a new TV series about human behavior on the National Geographic Channel, Crowd Control. He's written some excellent books, A Whole New Mindset, Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future, and his book Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, is a real groundbreaker for sure. And joining us right now is Dan Pink. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
We've been very interested in your works. Your very recent book, To Sell Is Human, is fascinating. But I read Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And of course, in the sporting world, we're always looking at ways to motivate people. And it's really interesting. But, you know, if we go back to A Whole New Mind, if we could start the conversation there, Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future. I thought this was a real interesting concept when you first came up with it. Let's start there and figure out maybe from there how this applies to everything that's going on in the world today.
That book makes an argument that in the workplace, the central abilities, the abilities that are most important, are shifting. It used to be that the most important abilities were these kinds of spreadsheet abilities, very logical, linear, sequential kinds of abilities. But today, those abilities can be outsourced and those abilities can be automated. And so what we have to do now is the sorts of things that computers can't do faster and smart people overseas can't do cheaper. And that ends up being things like artistry, empathy, inventiveness, design, big picture thinking, that those kinds of things, which we can think of kind of sort of metaphorically as right brain abilities, end up being more valuable.
Very interesting. I think that's a human thing, all in all. This could apply to virtually everything we do in life, don't you think, Dan?
A lot of the things we do in life. If you think about, we've seen this. It's a very common pattern in history. So if you look at, say, the Industrial Revolution, the Industrial Revolution basically automated muscle power. Okay, so a forklift can carry stuff a lot better, a lot heavier stuff, a lot better, a lot longer than you and I could on our own. Despite your incredible background in strength conditioning, a forklift is still going to outperform you, right?
Right.
So, what's happening now is that certain kinds of software are automating certain cognitive processes, but they end up being the very kind of very algorithmic recipe. List-based kinds of things, whether it's basic accounting, even certain kinds of legal practice, even certain kinds of financial analysis. So just as we had to do things that we're not going to be able to beat a forklift at strength, we're not going to be able to beat a piece of software, an algorithm, at that kind of logical, sequential reasoning. So what we have to do are things that software can't do, which at least right now ends up being more of these big picture, artistic, empathic things.
Interesting. We're talking with Dan Pink, author, speaker, and host of Crowd Control on the National Geographic Channel. You can check out all of Dan's information at danpink.com. Dan, I think it comes back to that idea you mentioned in Drive about this fixed-mindedness or fixedness, where people just can't seem to get out of what they've been doing to break into sort of this new approach and maybe even more efficient approach to what's going on right now or leading into the future. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, here's the thing, you know, that's not necessarily means that people are dumb or lazy. What it means is that, you know, if I do something one way on a Wednesday, chances are I'm going to do it the exact same way on a Thursday. And so it's very hard sometimes to break those kinds of patterns. And when it comes to motivation, again, especially when we're motivating people on the job or in schools, or you know, as you have been talking about for a long time, you know, how do you motivate people on the baseball diamond or the basketball court or the hockey rink? We tend to think that the way to do it are these very controlling kinds of measures, whether we punish the behavior we don't want, we reward the behavior we do want. And what 50 years of behavioral science tells us is that that's good for certain things, but it's actually not as great as we think it is. And what we're better off doing is focusing on a sense of autonomy, which is, you know, are you self-directed in how you're doing all this stuff? Focus on a sense of mastery. Are you constantly getting better at something that matters? And also on purpose. Do you know why you're doing it in the first place? And I guess the best line that somebody gave to me, and I think it applies with equal force to both business managers and baseball managers, you know, to coaches on the field as well as, you know, bosses in the office, is that, you know, somebody said to me, thinking about hiring, like, if that person needs me to motivate them, then I don't want to hire them. And, you know, motivation isn't something that one person does to another. At its heart, it's something that we each do for ourselves.
We're talking with Dan Pink, author and co-host of Crowd Control and National Geographic Channel. Dan, that's very interesting, you know, because one thing that we're always trying to tap into is helping people understand how they can get to the next level. And you're right. You're so right. If we have to motivate them, it's almost an impossible task. Would you classify maybe motivation as one of those intangibles, one of those natural gifts that people can have? Or do you think it's a learned trait if we have them in the right environment, have your people in the right environment?
You mean in terms of being motivated or motivating others?
Well, maybe being motivated. Or do you think motivating others can lead to motivation? Does one lead to another, I guess, would be the conversation to have.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's a really important question, actually, because a lot of the decisions we make as teachers, as coaches, as parents, as bosses, ultimately come down to that question that you're asking, which is, you know, what is human nature? Is human nature to be lazy and, you know, not really wanting to work, not really being interested in stuff, and therefore having to be controlled? Or is human nature to be active and engaged and actually seeking some self-direction? And my view of human nature is it's the second one, that is, human beings, by their nature, want to be autonomous and self-directed. And I say that not because, you know, I have some kind of fantasy about the nobility of human beings. It's because if you look at kids, that's how kids are. You know, that's how we are out of the box. You know, you're not going to find a two-year-old. I defy you to find a two-year-old who's not self-directed, curious, and engaged, or a four-year-old who's not self-directed, curious, and engaged. That's our nature. And I think that people, you know, learn some of the habits of compliance. They learn maybe to become dependent on control. But I think our nature is to be autonomous and self-directed. That doesn't mean we're going to turn out that way. And so, you know, it's really a mix of both. But if you start as a teacher, a coach, a boss, a parent, whatever, with the premise that, yeah, you know what, most people actually do care. They want to do something worthwhile. They want to control their own lives. That's going to lead you down a path. It might take a little bit longer,
but that ultimately is going to yield far better results.
Huh, very interesting, Dan. Do you think that the way we have sort of our businesses set up, let's walk into any business or the majority of businesses across North America, or in my world, almost every single sporting team from the little duffers right up to the professional guys, we might have it wrong here. There seems to be a massive disconnect to what we know about, you know, science and motivation and what we actually do here. And I guess that's one of the big messages in the book Drive.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that because, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from coaches at both the collegiate here in the U.S. and even at the professional level who have read the book and who, you know, and who have tried to take some of its principles and put them in place. And, you know, whether it's, you know, a couple of NBA coaches, at least one that I know of, NFL program, not much in baseball actually, but actually it's interesting now that I think about it. It's really, you know, a lot of basketball, a lot of basketball in the NBA, and in, here in the States, at the collegiate level.
Yeah, it is interesting. And you know, if we think about, you know, in pro sports, a lot of, you know, everybody sees the glamour of television. What people don't understand is the grind of the travel, the practice, the groundhog day. Oh. There's not days of the week anymore. Hey, it's a practice day and it's a game day. That's kind of how it works. And so motivation becomes a really, really important factor, even at the highest levels of sport.
Absolutely. And, you know, and so why do they do, you know, so why do they do it? If you look at the really great athletes, and they, I don't know, we can stick with basketball for a second.
Sure.
Whether it is, you know, LeBron or Steph Curry or in his earlier days, Kobe Bryant. I think what fans don't see is just how much work these guys do.
Exactly.
To get good. If you only watch, you know, if you only watch those 44 minutes now or 48 minutes now of an NBA game, that's just a fraction of what these guys are doing. And, you know, you hear about like the really, really great players who are, you know, again, in basketball, who, you know, are staying after practice and saying, I'm going to hit 53 pointers before I go in and shower, or I'm going to take 50 additional free throws before I go in and shower, even though practice is officially over. And that's the sort of thing that's all about mastery, about, you know, how do you get a little bit better at something that really matters to you?
Hey, Dan, do you think that that has a lot to do with the environment that the coaches or the boss or the middle manager of a business downtown really provides for the workers? Because just think about these people who are working at a desk every day, answering phones or dealing with customers. That's a hard environment to actually practice in and to imagine, how do I get better at this job without any legitimate practice time? It's not like sport at all.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And so, you know, and this is why, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about sports, in contrast to other kinds of things, and your example is a great one, is, you know, with sports, there is always feedback. You know, you're playing for the Blue Jays, you're R.A. Dickey, and you pitch, and the ball is, you know, you either throw a ball or a strike, all right? You're Jose Bautista, and, you know, you're having that bat. You either get on or you get out. And so, and one of the things that is very clear in the research on mastery is that mastery depends on feedback. The only way to get better at something is to get information on how you're doing. And I think one of the draws of sports, one reason that we play sports, even as amateurs, why would I go out and play pickup basketball? Why would I go out and play softball? It's not like I'm going to, you know, I mean, it's embarrassing in a way, you know, how bad I am. But why do I do it? Well, I do it because maybe today I can get a little bit better at this. And, you know, on a basketball court or on a baseball diamond, you get feedback all the time. And unfortunately, those people in offices, you know, often, you know, the way that they get feedback is with an annual performance review. So, you know, once a year, they get feedback on how they're doing. Imagine, LeBron James getting feedback once a year, or, you know, that guy Kane for the Chicago Blackhawks,
sure,
getting feedback once a year.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. You would say, what? That's not how it works.
It's interesting, you know, and this is sort of some maybe insights into these successful performance environments we see. We're talking with Dan Pink, author, speaker, and host of Crowd Control, a new series about human behavior on the National Geographic Channel. You can check Dan out at danpink.com. Dan, let's talk about this, you know, the performance environment. You know, maybe we get complacent, maybe we get caught up into the drudgery of the day, doing the same thing every single day. It's the same for everybody. It's sort of a human thing. What are some of the strategies you talk about in terms of, you know, keeping it fresh for people? You know, you talk about the three key elements: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. I think if somebody really went and deliberately worked those three elements into their environment, you would have so much more productivity and probably compliance that you'd be amazed.
Yeah, and there are, it's a good question. There are some interesting things that, say, you know, a manager or a teacher or even a coach can do. I mean, one of my favorites, let's talk about purpose, because purpose seems a little bit abstract to people.
Yeah.
But one of the things that comes out in this, in the research in behavioral science, is that, you know, explaining to people why they're doing something increases their performance. So if you have things like Adam Grant at the University of Pennsylvania has done some great research showing that if people who are, say, raising funds for a university scholarship fund, actually meet people who have received scholarships, or even read letters from people who have received scholarships, they raise more money because they know why they're doing it. You know, they know why they're doing it in the first place. There's some great research out of Harvard showing that when cooks can actually see their customers in a cafeteria, that the quality of their food increases because, that's why I'm here. I'm here to satisfy that person. I'm here to, like, make that person's life better. So circling back to the question itself, if you're a manager or a coach, teacher, whatever, one of the simplest things you can do is just, you know, think about it in a given week. Have two fewer conversations about how to do something and two more conversations about why to do it. So, you know, because bosses and teachers and coaches love to say, here's how you do a quadratic equation. Here's how you make a sales call. Here's how you hit a fastball. You know, here's how you hit a cutter.
Sure.
And that's important. Okay. That's important. But it's sort of, you got to take a step back and say, okay, why are we doing it in the first place? Why does it matter that you learn a quadratic equation? Why does it matter that the sales call is successful? Why does it matter to you as an athlete that you're able to hit a cutter? And if you have two fewer conversations about how and two more about why, I think you'll see an uptick in performance. And as bosses, again, as bosses and teachers and coaches, we're just obsessed with the how. And we very rarely take a step back and say, okay, why are we doing this in the first place? What's the point of the exercise?
Dan Pink, very interesting stuff. If people want to get more information on you, it can go to danpink.com, author, speaker, and of course, host of the new TV series, Crowd Control. I wanted to ask you, how's that going for you? It's very, very interesting. It sounds like it's a smashing hit, you know, talking about human behavior. I love it.
Yeah, it's a fun show. What we do is we take problems and then, you know, things like jaywalking or people parking in disabled parking bays, and then try to solve the problem and put a solution in place, turn on our cameras and see what happens. So trying to change behavior for the better, one person at a time.
Dan Pink, excellent work. Hey, we really appreciate your time today, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff, for having me. I appreciate it.
There you go, Dan Pink, everybody. A little motivation talk right there, and rightfully so. There's a lot of things we could do to tap into, you know, the motivation part for ourselves, kids, our students, our athletes, and certainly our employees right there. You can check out Dan Pink at danpink.com. Hey, when we come back, let's sum it up, and we got to talk a little golf as the golf tournament is right around the corner. So stay tuned. What are the odds of you hitting a hole-in-one after this on Crush Performance?
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous sports babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think, like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Crochelle, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show, crushperformance.com. Check it in, and we're out of time. A great conversation to kick off the show from Declan Hill as we really got to the bottom of what's going on with FIFA. The corruption runs deep, and not just within the world of soccer. I think this is going to spread to other sports, which is honestly good for sport, no question about it. So thanks to Declan Hill, and also thanks to Dan Pink talking a bit of motivation. And speaking of motivation, you should have some motivation to get out to the TSN golf tournament next Wednesday. We will be on hole number 6 at the ranch, hosting the Crush Sherwood Dodge Ram giveaway, hole in one. Closer to the hole, brought to you by the fabulous Trickle Creek and First Tee Golf. You can give First Tee Golf a call at 1-800-666-661-GOLF or online at info@firstteegolf.ca. Next week, we'll be talking hockey performance as the NHL playoffs run deep. What is it going to take for these guys to survive? And what should you be doing this summer in terms of getting your hockey game to the next level? Talk to you next week.